blessing. Amen. I don't mean live physically, but spiritually. Amen. And I just appreciate the work that's here. Amen. Got two announcements to make. We do have some CDs back there. We take cash, checks. We do take credit cards. Honey. I've taken a quart of honey before. Just whatever you got. Amen. Show me what you got. Blackberry cobbler. Anything like that. We negotiate. Amen. We do. And it's getting close to deer season. So if you got any deer eating up your gardens or anything, just let me know about that. And I'll bring my bow and try to take care of business. Amen. Man. My wife told me we're out of deer meat. So I'm getting real serious about it now. Open your Bibles, if you would, the book of 2 Chronicles. Would you do that, please? 2 Chronicles. Chapter 20. Of course, today, you got these animal rights activists going around. They found out you eat deer. I mean, you're just a hard criminal type person. It parts the hoof, and it chews the cud. And if God didn't intend for us to eat it, how come he made them out of meat? That's all I got to say. Amen. He made them out of meat, so I'm going to eat them. Amen. 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 And I know they're pretty. They are. And I think they look real nice when they're stacked, when they're little packages and stacked. That's how I like them. Amen. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Verse 1, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed the fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Father, we love you and just appreciate all you've done. Lord, I just appreciate the word of God. And I'm thankful, Lord, that there were times in Bible times when you wrote down where people had insurmountable odds. And God, and you came through and delivered them. And so I pray, Lord, as this pastor's talked already about our country needing revival, and it's not going to be the Republicans or the Democrats or anybody else, Lord. It's got to be you, and it's got to be with your people. But I pray that you'd help us to see that you're still God, and, Lord, you're still doing wonders. And, God, I pray you'd help us to trust you, that you're still on the throne. In Jesus' name, amen. I know almost four years ago, I went into a depression. right after the election. Election night. I went to bed at 8:30. I just didn't want to hear it. I did. I went to bed at 8:30 and I was really down. But I found out that God has never lost an election. The heart of the king's in the hand of the Lord. And so God has always had his Ahabs and Jezebels to take care of people who don't want him. Amen. And Syrian armies and all the ites and everybody else. When God's people need revival, when God's people need to turn back and start praying again, God's got the Syrian army and he's got the whoever to get people's eyes and get their heart back where they belong. Amen. So I expect y'all have done more praying for our country the last 4 years than you did the previous four or eight. Amen. But I want to read this verse again and get to the message. Verse 12, he's praying here. He says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. So I want to preach tonight on what to do when you don't know what to do. I mean, economically, politically, just in all kinds of ways. I don't know if you've noticed, but even the lost people know something's going on. It is different than any other time in history. I mean, us preachers have always been warning people. I mean, I can remember when I was a kid, when I first got saved at 18 years old, I mean, the second coming was preached almost every message. I mean, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And then after a while, they're just kind of, you don't hear that much about it anymore, not like it was back then. But back then the Russians were against us, and Khrushchev said 72 and you're through, and all these things, and boy, we were scared. And I remember the fallout shelters, amen. I remember the air raids when we were kids, and we'd hear the siren go off, and we'd put our head under our desk and all that business. But they never got us with the bomb, and Jesus never came back. So, and then Reagan became president. We were in the millennium. Just skipped the rapture and everything, went right into the millennium. Well, we found out different, didn't we? We're not in the millennium, but listen, there are things that we can do when we don't know what to do. Jehoshaphat showed us what to do when we don't know what to do. So let's go back to verse 3 and see one of the things he did. First of all, in verse 3 it says, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. And at the end of verse 12, he says, but our eyes are upon thee. Number one, I want to say, what to do when you don't know what to do, get your eyes on him. Get your eyes on him. I mean, listen, God is not some grandpa in heaven that has lost it. That's the way we behave. We behave like, boy, God lost the election and God's losing this worldly thing. No, what's happening today, you reading it in your Bibles. Amen. All the things going on against the Jews and we say, oh, they can't do that. They can't do that. They are going to do it. It's in the Bible. They are going to do it. Somehow this country, I mean, we talk about the times that we our president and administration have, I'll call it dissed. What do they call it? Dissed. You know what dissed means? When you offend someone. The times we've offended Israel, we've offended the Israeli dignitaries and when they come to our country. And all the things that happened. But hey, I'm sorry. Now, you may know some big shot preacher that preaches prophecy and he's found the United States in prophecy. I've never seen us in prophecy. I mean, how can the biggest power of the world not be in prophecy? I don't know, but something's going to happen. Are y'all listening to me? We're not in prophecy. I mean, why wouldn't the greatest power in the world be in the book of Revelation? Why wouldn't we be there unless we're not going to be here? Amen. We may be under a different flag. I don't know. But I'm saying something big's going to happen. But God has put us here for such a time as this. Hey, we can handle it. God put us here so we can handle it. Whatever's going to happen, we can handle it. And I'm not preaching doom and gloom. It may be another 1,000 years, but I don't think so. I don't think so, but I'm saying we need to get our eyes on him. Just get your eyes on the Lord. Get your eyes in the book, amen. And Nehemiah, when Nehemiah was commanded to build that wall, of course, Sanballat and Tobiah were against it, and they kept bickering and getting against the dignitaries of Judah and telling them, you know, if you build this wall, so the fox will tear this thing down. And they kept giving all kinds of threats so that the people came to Nehemiah, and they said, Nehemiah, this is what they're saying. And they rehearsed what all that they've been saying about the building that wall. And Nehemiah says, hey, remember the Lord. Isn't that something we, oh yeah, him. Get your eyes on him. I'm not just talking about this situation we are in the world today. I'm talking about whatever situation you're in right now. It may be a financial situation. It might be a family situation. It might be a health situation. Get your eyes on him. Don't let him be the last one you call when you start going through a problem. Maybe he should be first. The Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So number one, get your eyes on him. He set himself to seek the Lord. And number two, not only get your eyes on him, know who him is. Look in verse 6, as Jehoshaphat is praying to God and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? I want you to know that's who you're talking to when you pray, the God of heaven. And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of, you mean, is that Iran? All the kingdoms of the heathen, is that Iran? Is that Syria? Is that Pakistan? Is that Iraq? Is that Afghanistan? All the kingdoms, he's a ruler of it. He didn't lose the election here either. He's a ruler here. And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? And let me say this while we're reading about this guy here. He's our daddy. He's our daddy. Art not thou our God? I like that. Our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people of Israel and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever. I want you to know who him is. He's still God Almighty. He's still on the throne. He's still calling the shots. He's still omnipotent. He can do anything. He's still sovereign. That just means he can do anything he wants to do, anytime he wants to do, and doesn't have to ask anybody about it before he does it. And he's our daddy. Don't worry. Daddy's got it all under control. Listen, folks, I'm trying to tell you, it's going to be okay. We took an offering years ago. We had our camp meeting, and we're trying to raise a lot of money. So we use Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets, amen. If you want a bunch of money, you got to use buckets, amen. So and the pastor had the kids pass the offering. The kids were passing that offering bucket, you know, and boy, they were having fun. Those kids were having a ball. They passing those offering buckets, and they get to their daddy, and they stand there and stand there and stand there, and finally daddy fork it over, you know, and those kids just thought that's the funniest thing. Their daddies wouldn't think it was real funny, but the kids thought it was funny, amen. And I got to thinking about that. I was watching this, and I said, you know, some of those dads, they were giving a lot, and the kids were having fun giving it. And I thought, well, let me see. Number one, those kids, the money they're getting in the bucket, it's not their money. It's their daddy's money. So there's no skin off their nose. And their daddy always had taken care of them. I don't care how much he put in that bucket. They had never wanted a place to eat. Daddy took care of that. They weren't worried about the mortgage. Daddy always took care of the mortgage. I'm just saying, our daddy's going to take care of us. Now, we may not like the way he takes care of us. Amen. I mean, bless our heart, we got to wait another year before we get another iPad. I mean, God forbid. Amen. Things are tight. I mean, if you have to go another year before you get your new car, I'm sorry. But we're doing okay. I would love to take a lot of Christians I know to a third world country to help them appreciate the place where they live. I'd like for the women to go and just see people who don't have plumbing. I mean, some of our women, we have it so bad, you know. running water in some places I've been is the wife runs down to the middle of the village and gets it in a bucket and carries it on her head. That's the running water. Ladies, shout her out. My old man, he just won't take care of this plumbing. The pipes are rattling. Hey, thank God you got pipes to rattle. Know who him is. Amen. Get your eyes on him. Know who him is. Number three, see things the way God sees them. You know, it's easier to see things when you're up here than when you're right there with it. And God's up here, and he can see the end from the beginning. So try to see things the way God sees them. I want you to see this in verse 9. He's talking to God, and he's talking about if when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then I would hear and help. So he's saying, God, you've set all this up, and you said, if we run into trouble, we get to this house and pray towards this house to you, that you'll bail us out. You'll help us in our need. And he says, now look here. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of possession which thou hast given us to inherit. When he's praying and he's talking to God and he's saying, God, you said if we pray to this place, you'd bail us out. And he said, oh, by the way, God, these people that are coming, that have an insurmountable army against us, these people, we could have destroyed them when we came out of Egypt and you wouldn't let us. That's what he said. He said, you wouldn't let us invade them. You wouldn't let us destroy them when we came out of Egypt. He said, and now look. What's he saying? God, this is your battle, not ours. You're the one that wouldn't let us destroy this bunch. And now look at them. They're more than us. We can't handle them. It's good to see things the way God sees them. You say, well, that's kind of bold praying. Well, it's bold, but it was true. Now look here in verse 15. This is a preacher that's prophesying, Jezebel. He said, hearken, all ye Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. God said, hey, Jehoshaphat, you're right. Now, do you think maybe God knew back then when he wouldn't destroy them, wouldn't let them destroy them, that they were going to grow into a mighty army and be able to... God knew all that stuff. He said, I just want to show you something. You ever read about miracles in the Bible? You ever read about one that didn't necessarily need to take place? Are you thinking? Have you ever read about a miracle that didn't necessarily have to take place? No, all of them. It was the darkest. I mean, it was just an impossible. And that's when you see miracles. Amen. I'd love to see a miracle. Well, fasten your seatbelt then, because it's going to be bad before it happens. I mean, it was bad. I mean, what they were praying, what he was saying was true. I mean, it's an insurmountable odds. I mean, we can't. But God, you, and so this is yours. And God says, you're right, it's my battle. I'll take care of it. See things the way God sees them. It'd be such a blessing. I got a pastor, or an evangelist friend that just passed away. I don't know if you know Brother Earl Hughes. He used to come to our camp meeting. Old preacher, old mountain preacher. And he used to hitchhike to all his meetings when he's a young man. When he first got called to preach, he hitchhiked to his meetings, didn't have a car. Matter of fact, he said, the first time I was ever late to a meeting was the first time I ever had my own car. And I said, yeah, I used to have a car like that too. And but he said, I was hitchhiking to a meeting one time. He lived in North Georgia and was hitchhiking to Florida to preach a revival meeting. And he said, it was hot. It was in July. And he said, I had my coat off and had my guitar standing on the side of the road hitching a ride. He said, a brand new Buick pulled up. And he said, I thought it was kind of strange. He said, the windows were up in that car, and it was hot. He said, so I opened the back door and put my coat and my guitar in the back seat and said, got in the front seat and shut the door, and he said, there was cold air coming out these holes in that car. He had never felt air conditioning before. He said, I just got to praising God. He said, after a while, he said, I found out the guy that owned the Buick was a Jew, and he got upset with me bragging on Jesus so much. And he says, what do you got to thank Jesus about? So all you got is that beat-up guitar and that coat back there. And he said, well, it's just according to how you look at it. He said, the way I look at it, the Lord just gave me a brand new Buick and a chauffeur to drive it. It's got cold air coming out the holes. Now, let me ask you a question. Is that not the truth? He said, he drove the whole way. He said, wouldn't you know it? He said, he was going to the same town I was going to in Florida. The same town. Said he drove me the whole way. So we stopped at a gas station. This is back in the old days. He said, fill it up. Y'all, any of y'all remember that? No self-serving. Fill it up. He said, he paid for the gas. So we stopped at a restaurant, said he got out, went to the door, turned around, said, aren't you coming? He said, no, I'll stay here. He said, oh, come on, I'll pay for your meal. He said he paid for the gas. He did all the driving. He paid for the meal. He took me all the way to where I was going in Florida. Hey, that was reality. God's going to take care of us. I mean, listen, we got a Bible, and we see people going through things in that Bible a lot worse than what we're going through right now. And guess what? They made it. They made it. How many of you have ever gone through something and you just knew that was it? Hey, and here we are. Hey, here we are. We're here. We made it. Amen. I'm just telling you, we need to see things the way God sees them. God's going to take care of us. Amen. God, and the battle is not ours, it's His. Amen. Well, let's keep reading here. Verse 16, the prophet here is prophesying. He said, tomorrow go you down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves and stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. What to do when you don't know what to do? Worship. I don't care what this country or this world has ever gone through. Can you think of Pearl Harbor? Just all kinds of, can you think of 9/11? You know what was going on up in heaven when all that stuff took place? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. It's going to be all right. Worship. Something we're weak on is worship. People get scared when you talk about worship. King Jehoshaphat, when the prophet gave him the message, God said he's going to take care of this. King Jehoshaphat said he put his head to the ground. And nobody's head can be above the king. So everybody in the whole kingdom got their heads down to the ground. And they began to worship. Now what is worship? I really don't think some people know. Worship is you telling God how great He is. Worship can be loud, but doesn't have to be because you're talking to God. but it's magnifying him. It's extolling him. It's lifting him up. We need to worship. God seeketh such to worship him. God's looking for worship. God's looking for worshipers. You can't be proud in worship because you're talking to somebody that's better than you are and you're telling him so. It's humbling to worship. We sing the song, "Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God." We need to worship him. David was a good worshiper. Matter of fact, there's a man after God's own heart. Anybody like me, they're not real good with words. I don't know why God called me to preach. I'm just not good with words at all. This is a miracle. This is what I'm doing tonight. You say, your preaching stinks. You and me both. I mean, we know it. But David was really good with words. And he knew how to worship God, and he wrote the stuff down. So I just take his stuff, read it to God. If you're not good with words, just read a psalm to God. Sometime, we need to worship God. He worshiped. I'm telling you what to do when you don't know what to do. Jehoshaphat, when he got the word that it was God's battle, it wasn't his, and he was going to get the victory, and God was going to go before them in the battle, Jehoshaphat worshiped God. Verse 19. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. I'm sure there's some people, when I said worship is quiet, I'm sure you said, praise is not. Praise is always loud. Praise is not for God. Praise is for other people to know what you think of God. Those 10 lepers were cleansed, and one came back with a loud voice, glorified God. Jesus was not hard of hearing. He didn't say it loud so Jesus could hear him. He said it loud so everybody else could hear what he thought about Jesus. Let me say something about soul winning. You know what I think soul winning should be? Just us praising the Lord. Us telling other people what we think about the Lord. And we stopped doing it, so now we got to take a seminar in a clinic to know how to reproduce. I think preacher said, you got a farm? You ever put cows through a clinic to teach them how to reproduce? Come on now. But why do we have to do that in Christianity, to have a clinic? It should be a natural thing. I mean, when we need a calf, we just... The neighbor had a bull, we had heifer, and we bring the bull over and let it stay for a couple of weeks and then send it off, and then we had us a calf. Amen. It's just a natural thing. Soul winning should be a natural thing. I think it's just an outpouring of praise of the Lord, just telling people what God's done for you and what he can do for them. The Apostle Paul was a very learned man, had a very great education, but when he witnessed the kings, he just gave his testimony. He just told what God had done for him. Praising the Lord. We need to do it. And it's always loud. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. I'm not sorry. It's loud. Baptists are way too quiet. Way too quiet. I've been in some churches and I think of the verse, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Now, really... Now, this window-washing crowd, they have robbed us Listen, Baptists were shouting way before that crowd came along. That crowd didn't come along until the early 1900s, the Azusa Street Revival. That's where the Pentecost group came from. We were shouting and praising God way before that. And I think we need to pick back up. We ought to praise the Lord. Matter of fact, if you're saying, I just don't believe that, I want you to go home tonight, get your concordance, see how many times the Bible says, praise ye the Lord. And after you get up to about 100, I want you to ask yourself this question, when am I going to do it? Amen. Let me say this. Can I teach you something tonight? Is it okay? I don't want to preach down to you, but God has shown me some things. Saying praise the Lord is not praising the Lord. When I say praise the Lord, I'm asking you to praise the Lord. Amen. So then you say, God's good. God saved me. Or whatever. Just say something good about the Lord. When I say praise the Lord, you say, amen, brother, he saved me. That's praising the Lord. We need to praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise all ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. From this time forth and forevermore, the Lord's name is to be praised. We need to praise the Lord. We ought to praise the Lord. We're commanded to praise the Lord. And I'm just going to keep preaching it. I'm tired of that crowd getting our people, some of our people, they're dying, and so they're willing to compromise doctrine and go over here so they can have a little excitement at church. They're wrong on their doctrine. But the Bible says, they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. You can have both. Amen. I told you this morning, they're over there washing windows, and they don't even know if they're saved or not. We know we're saved. We know we're going to heaven. We know it's a no-doubter, amen. It's a done deal. And we shouldn't be sitting on our hands. We ought to be the one washing the windows. Amen. Or at least what? Smiling. Amen. At least smiling. I was preaching in Canada. I was preaching about Joshua going around the walls of Jericho, you know, once a day for 6 days, seven times on the seventh day. And I was talking about them shouting. And Joshua commanded them to shout. And then the walls came down. And I was really getting into it, and the people were, Canada, they were getting into it. I couldn't believe it. And one woman had a little amen flag, she's waving it, and I thought everybody's enjoying it, but they wasn't all enjoying it. When I preach, I don't normally look at the corners. That's just Brother Edmonds right there, but I look at people. I don't look at persons, so I really don't look at the corner. Amen. And that happened to be where the pastor was. He wasn't enjoying it. He had me for dinner that day. Yes, he did. He had me for dinner. It just sideswiped me. I didn't even know. I mean, we were eating dinner there, and the women were in the kitchen cleaning up, whatever. And he says, you're wrong on that praise thing. That's the first notion I had that anything was wrong. I just said no. And he said, praise is prayer, and you're supposed to do that in the closet. Well, let me say this. Worship is prayer, and worship can be quiet. Praise is not prayer. Praise is telling everybody else. And besides that, I came out of the closet on that one. Amen. You got any grandkids? Eight? Is that all? I got nine. Amen. Here's some of them. I got a picture of these grandkids. I got one of them with me. There's his brother and sister right there. There's his little brother. There's his sister. And I got pictures. Wouldn't it be stupid for me to go in a closet somewhere and look at these pictures and show them to nobody? I'm praising these grandkids. It's stupid to praise it to nobody. Amen. I'll show all of you if you got time. Praising the Lord is just telling everybody how great He is and what He means to you. We need to do it. We ought to do it. We're commanded to do it. Amen. They praised the Lord, and it was loud. And if you're determined you're not going to do it, don't talk about them over yonder that's washing windows, because we're just as bad as they are. Hey, they're both wrong. Dead churches and carrying on like that, they're both wrong. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm getting back behind the pulpit. They stood up and praised him. Verse 20, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper. And when he consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come out against Judah, and they were smitten. Listen, folks, I didn't write that. When they started singing and praising, God gave the victory. Let me share another verse with you. The Bible says praise is comely. I looked that word up. We don't use that word. I've never used comely in a sentence. It means appropriate at all times. It's always a good time to praise the Lord. They worshiped, they praised, and then they started singing. I'm wrapping it up. I'm putting the flaps down. He said 8:30. I'm going to quit at 8:30. Amen. But we're going to try to finish. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing is a result of a Spirit-filled life. I've been preaching for 30 years in evangelism, and I look at two things mainly when I go to, especially a new church, I look at two things. The first thing I look at is they're singing. If they're singing. If they're not singing, brother, I got a big job. Or God does. I'm not going to take responsibility for that. And the second thing I look at is if everybody beats me out the door when it's over. I'm thinking, where in the hurry to go? I mean, this... Is there somebody else they want to see more than they want to see God's people? Amen. But that's the second thing I look at. I preached at a church one time, and everybody had backed in. I said, honey, they've come to go. That's the way it is. A lot of times people come to go. I come to get in. Sing. Now, when I say this, I'm not saying, all right, well, okay, from now on I'll sing. No, you need to get filled with the Holy Spirit, and you'll want to sing. You want to sing. Well, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. Doesn't make any difference. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You can do that. I mean, you know what? A buzzard's the only one that don't make some kind of noise. Even a crow can call. Amen. Amen. I hope this has helped you tonight. What to do when you don't know what to do. Can y'all help me with the points? Number one, get your eyes on him. Number two, know who him is. He's God in heaven. He's calling all the shots. He's still in control. Number three, see things the way God sees them. Hey, he's your daddy, and he's going to take care of you no matter what. Number four, worship. Five, praise. Six, sing. And if you read the end of the chapter when you get home, after God gave them the victory, you know what they did? They worshiped again, and they praised again, and they sang again. Sometimes worshiping and praising and singing, you have to do it on credit. I mean, Joshua was told to shout before the walls came down. And I'm sure there were some Baptists there, well, there's nothing to shout about. I mean, no, they had to shout on credit. But then after the walls came down, you think maybe they did some more shouting? Probably wasn't on credit then, amen. They were enjoying, amen. Read the last of the chapter. They did it again. They worshiped. The king led them in worship. And they praised God and they sang. Hey, folks, he's still in charge. He's still in charge. I don't care what you're facing tonight. He's still in charge. He's still on the throne. And he's our daddy. He'll take care of us. Father, we love you. And Lord, thank you that you're our God.